Hello, good afternoon. Hope you're doing well this week. Glad that you could join us. We're going to go right into a brief time of teaching. And before we do that, a couple of announcements. First of all, next week, the Japanese service is going to reopen. However, the English service, the International English Service, will be reopening on May 31st, so the week after the Japanese service. And I hope that we'll be able to connect with you once more face-to-face. Also, at the end of today's video, we're going to rejoin together on Zoom. And this time, we're going to have communion together. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table. I really believe that's an important thing for us Christians. Even though we're apart from each other, we're still able to do it as long as we're creative. And I really believe it's a very special thing that the disciples of Jesus are supposed to be doing. So anyways, please stick around afterwards and I'll share some information that will help you to join our Zoom meeting on that. So let's begin Luke chapter 12, Jesus teaching on prosperity.
Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 21. Fools and their money. Well, preachers and teachers, some of us, we like talking about money. Some of us don't talk about money. Jesus, however, no problem. He spoke about money quite often. In fact, out of the 39 parables he's recorded to have spoken, 11 of those parables were directly about money. And today we're looking at one of those. So it starts when Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people, and one of them steps forward and he asks Jesus the question directly, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." In other words, Jesus, one of my parents, maybe both of them, have passed away, and they've left us with some fortune, but my elder brother or one of our siblings is hoarding it. He's not dividing it fairly, and I'm not getting the portion that I deserve. And so Jesus responds to him. He says, "Man, who appointed me judge or an arbiter between you?" Wow, kind of harsh, I think. Well, at first, that's what I thought. And then he said, "Watch out." So he talks to the crowd. Now he's done talking to the man and he says, "Watch out." He gives a warning. "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Wow. He's saying this man's heart may sound naturally honest, or he's asking for justice, but in fact, it's a cover for his greed. And he says, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. My mistake for saying life does not exist. Actually, that's what it says in the Greek version. Jesus says literally, life does not exist in all of your possessions, in all of your wealth. And he's saying all of us believe that life matters, but a lot of us think for the wrong reasons what our life matters in. Our lives have value, and our life is worth is coming from something that's completely opposite, or it doesn't match with reality. Jesus is saying, "Listen, you come to me about a family matter that's about money, a financial problem, and I'm not here to do that for you. In fact, that's not my mission. That's not the reason I came." Well, Jesus, what is your mission? Well, my mission is to tell you what life is. My job is to show you what your life really consists in, what really exists in. I'm not here to get you the things you think will make your life. I'm here to be your life. I have not come to give you the things that you think are your life. No, 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 no. I'm here to become your life, to be your life. I came to set your life on fire. I came to revolutionize your life, not to help you get your agenda. I came to give you an entire new agenda. That's what I'm here to do. Otherwise, your life is not going to last. It doesn't exist for the right reason. You're living in a kind of bubble. And you're asking me, you know, Jesus, you know, I'd like to find you. And Jesus, maybe you can help me. And Jesus says, the only way I will help is if you say, not, oh, Lord, come and help strengthen my bubble, but, oh, Lord, I want to live for you. Jesus wants all of your life. He wants your whole life. And so a lot of us are saying, you know, Lord, please tell my brother or sister to get this thing in order. Tell the economy to get back in order. Tell my job to get back in order. Tell the viruses and the diseases to get in line. You know, Jesus, do this for me. And Jesus is saying, I'm not here for that. You know what? Even if I did that for you, it wouldn't help you. It wouldn't help you a bit. It may help you for a month. It may help you for a year. It may help you for your life, but there's more to life than what you think. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, if you don't understand that, you're a fool. And so he gives this story to illustrate what he's trying to teach us. So he talks about the ground of a certain rich man yielding an abundant harvest. And this rich man looks at this year's crop and says, wow, I've got so much. What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And he gets an idea. He says, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I'll store my surplus. And I'll say to myself, okay, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. And then he goes, take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And then God comes to him and he says, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for? Yourself. You're going to end up empty-handed. And Jesus gives the punchline. He says, this is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. So I want to take a look at this condemnation of God saying, you fool, the foolish rich man. In the Bible, the word fool is very important. One of the definitions is a fool is someone who's out of touch with reality. For example, in Proverbs chapter 10, he says, fools lack sense. They're out of touch with reality. The senseless fools do not understand how life really works. God made life to work in a certain way. And a fool doesn't understand that. But more than that, you know, a fools don't understand that there is a reality that goes beyond the physical, and the material, that there is a spiritual reality. Fools don't understand that. A fool says, there is no God. This is all there is. And then a third definition would be, a fool is someone who hates God's definition of reality. It's not only that they deny a spiritual reality or that they deny the reality outside themselves, but not only that, they hate God's definition of reality. Fools despise wisdom. Fools hate knowledge. Fools detest turning from evil. So what kind of a fool was this rich man? Well, he ignored the existence of eternal reality. He was out of touch with the spiritual reality. And that's why when he had a nice harvest in one year, he thought, well, I have plenty for myself. Everything in is for this life only. That's why I'm just going to build things for this life. Because my life exists in the abundance of my possessions. So he ignored the existence of God's reality, of spiritual reality. He was not rich toward God. And that's why he went against God's prosperity principle. There's a principle at work when God blesses people, when God gives prosperity to people. There's the world's prosperity, and then there's God's prosperity. The world will say, store up your barns. God says, no, empty your barns. The world says, you know, to be prosperous, you need to find yourself. Whereas God says, no, lose yourself to find yourself. The world wants us to promote ourselves. And God says, no, humble yourselves. The way for prosperity in the world is to seek power, where God's prosperity is to serve others. The world wants us to deny our mistakes when we do things wrong. God says, no, 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 admit your wrongs. Admit when you make a mistake. Don't make excuses. The world says to dominate people, to dominate situations. Whereas God says, no, that's not what it's for. You're supposed to sacrifice for others, to give at a cost of yourself. Finally, the world says, keep what you have. Store it up. Don't lose it. And God says, no, give it away. This is God's principle of prosperity. This is the reason why God blesses people. And so this fool thinks, no, that's not how it works. And so Jesus says, that's the way that you can be rich toward God. Being rich toward God is serving others, admitting your wrongs, sacrificing, giving things away instead of keeping it, emptying your barns instead of storing up your barns. And the world says, no, you're a fool. You're a fool to do that. And that's what Jesus is trying to show us. See, who was right in the end? Who was proved correct? In Corinthians, it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Jesus Christ has proved it. When he was on the cross, he won through losing. He was filled through emptying. He got glory by emptying himself of his glory. Jesus himself is the proof, right? He's a man in sandals. He was homeless. He had no money, no organization. He didn't have marketing or publicity. And yet today, he's the most influential man who has ever lived. And his followers are still the ones in the power, without a doubt. He has proven who is sane. And he has proven who's crazy, who is the fool. See, that's the gospel. That's how the gospel works. What is the gospel? Well, here it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Jesus Christ, though he was rich, became poor, so that through his poverty, we might become rich. Okay? So here we have Jesus, who was rich. He had everything. He was in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, surrounded by glory, majesty, and honor. And here's us, blind, poor, and naked. And it says that though he was rich, he became poor. He left heaven, left his throne, left his riches and glory and honor, and took our place, becoming poor, so that through him, us fools could receive his riches, his glory, his wealth, when we humble ourselves and put our faith and trust in him. That's what the gospel is. And so every Christian understands that through Jesus, I have been made rich. I have been blessed. I have everything I need. And, you know, how do you know that you've been made rich? How do you know that you have all that you need? How do you know that you have access to God? How do you know that God has filled you? How do you know that your status has changed, that you've been given the protection of God, that you've been given access, that you're clothed in righteousness, and that you are holy and blameless before God. How do you know that you're rich? One of those ways is that you're rich toward God. So how is this going to happen? Well, an old preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, said, one way you know that Jesus Christ is precious to you is that nothing else is. Nothing else. Everything else is expendable. Your money isn't precious to you anymore. Your possessions aren't precious to you. These things don't have a hold on you anymore. And if you're in your right mind, you can look at the world and you can say, world, you owe me nothing. You cannot frighten me. I don't care what the stock market is doing. I don't care about what the economy is going to collapse. I am rich. I'm rich beyond the dreams of the wildest billionaire. So it doesn't matter how the world turns out. I'm rich. And therefore, I can be rich toward God. And that is what Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 21 is all about.
That concludes our time in the Word. Now let's get together on Zoom and have some communion together, as well as prayer and some sharing. Right now you can see my email address at the bottom of the screen. I hope it's there this time. And it is Hotmail. It is the same. It has not changed for over 20 years. And I still use that personally. So if you want to get a hold of me, not only for the Zoom meeting, but for any reason, feel free to send me an email there. All right. Well, that's all. And thank you for joining us today. I hope to see you in a couple of minutes. If not, God bless you and have a good week.